Welcome to Torah Timecha Parasha of the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Esther Shkup, and today we'll be learning Parashat Re'eh. In this parasha, Moshe lays out the script for the people who will cross the Jordan River and will renew the covenant with Hashem at Har Gerizim and Har Eival, accepting the blessings if they follow Hashem's ordinances, or the curses, Chas V'Shalom, if they defy Hashem's will. He warns them to neither add or detract from any of the commandments, and then warns them against obeying false prophets or soothsayers. This parasha is replete with scores of mitzvot, some of which appear earlier, but will become pertinent only upon settlement in Eretz Yisrael and cultivating the land, such as Shemitah, Maasrot, and Bikurim. The parasha includes several mitzvot that are pivotal to a just and equitable society, among which is the prohibition of usury and the requirement to provide for the impoverished and the weak. Sefer HaChinuch counts a total of 55 mitzvot in this parasha. Moshe warns the people to eradicate all monuments and customs related to Canaanite idolatry and prohibits the construction of bamot. They are private or regional altars for sacrifices, and commands that upon arrival in the land, all religious celebrations and sacrificial rites must be centralized in one place which Hashem has chosen. There they would celebrate the three major festivals, Pesach, Shavuot, and Sukkot. In the desert, the Israelites would eat meat from cattle and sheep that were slaughtered as sacred offerings, their blood and fat burnt on the altar. But when they enter the land, chulin, meat that is not part of a sacrificial offering, is allowed, provided that all blood has been removed. For blood is the life source, ki hadam hu anefesh. The Mefarshim explained that the drinking of blood was associated with pagan rituals and the conjuring of spirits. Remnants of such idolatry is still found in mythology of vampires and symbolically in some Christian rituals. Moshe warns us not to imitate any of the religious rituals of the pagans, highlighting cruel practices that included human sacrifice. After explicating the laws of kosher meat, Moshe emphasizes in the 28th verse of the 12th chapter, Shamo v'shamata et kol hadvarim ha'ele asher anochi metzavecha, leman yitav lecha ulevanecha acharecha ad olam, ki ta'ase hatov v'hayashar b'enei Hashem Elokecha. Ostensibly, this statement is intended to cajole and persuade Am Yisrael of the benefits of obedience to Hashem's ordinances, promising them that obedience would lead to a good and long life. The phrase liman yitav lecha, so that it will be good for you, reverberates throughout the preceding parashiyot. When Moshe repeated the Ten Commandments in Parashat Va'etchanan, he added leman yitav lecha to the mitzvah of honor your father and your mother. After reciting all Ten Commandments, Moshe summarized there with an encouraging statement, Ushmartem la'asot kasher tziva Hashem Elokechem etchem. Be careful to do exactly what Hashem commanded you. Lo tasuru yemin u'smol. Do not swerve neither left nor right. Leman tichyun v'tov lachem. Go in the way that Hashem hath commanded you, so that you may live, and so that it will be good for you. Ve'erachtem yamim ba'aretz asher tirashun, and you will last long, living a long life in the land in which you will inherit. And there too, in the sixth chapter, Moshe added a more generalized ethic as a condition for conquering and holding on to the promised land. Ve'asita הישר והטוב בעיני השם למען ייטב לך. And you will do that which is straight and good in the eyes of God, so that it will be good for you, and so that you may come and inherit the good land which Hashem had sworn and promised to your forefathers. This theme continues in Parashat Ekev. All of the mitzvah which I've commanded you today, observe it, learn it, so that you may live and increase and come to the land and inherit that land which Hashem had promised your forefathers. Then at the end of Parashat Ekev, he again reiterated, Ushmartem et kol ha-mitzvah asher anochi mitzavcha hayom leman techezku uvatem v'yirashtem et ha-aretz. Keep all of the mitzvahs so that you may be strong and come into the land and inherit it. And it will be there for you and for your children, a land Zavat Chalav Udvash, a land that flows with milk and honey. It would be easy then to dismiss the statement made in our parasha, Leman Yitavlach Ve'asita Hatov Ve'hayashar, as nothing but a rhetorical device in which repetition is intended to hammer in and emphasize a major idea. That idea is that Hashem's commandments, both those that we can explain and those that defy human logic, have the purpose of improving our lives, both on earth and after death. Hashem is Hatov VeHameitiv. He is good and wants to do good. And the commandments are an expression of His love and nurturance, whose aim is Leman Yitav Lach, so that it would be good for you, even when they seem hard or arbitrary. Radatz Hoffman suggests that Leman Yitav Lecha is added to every mitzvah that is intended to foster kindness and humane compassion. But it is not so easy to treat the demand to do what is straight and good in the eyes of God as a variation simply of what has already been said in Parashat Va'etchanan, Va'asita Hayashar Ve'hatov, Hatov Ve'hayashar. We will try to understand the meaning of this statement in light of the context. Chazal and our classic commentaries do not define keeping 613 commandments as the equivalent of doing that which is good and straight in the eyes of God. They view it instead as a separate and distinct requirement. Rashi points out that this is an additional super mitzvah, going beyond the specified mishpatim, edut, chukim, the laws and rituals, the ordinances and prohibitions that Moshe had been teaching Am Yisrael. It's an additional requirement, he says, to be willing to cede one's rights and property in a voluntary compromise, to prefer pshara over winning, and thereby foster compassionate and peaceful human relations. This applies particularly to mitzvot ben adam lechavero. The Torah wants us to be willing to give way, even if by law we can demand the full extent of our rights. Chazal teach us in Baba Metzia, Lo charva Yerushalayim ela al she'emidu dineihem al din Torah, velo asu lifnim mishurat hadin. Jerusalem was destroyed not because they abrogated halacha, but because each side insisted on litigiously demanding his rights, and no one was willing to bend or give in. Those of us who live in the United States are inculcated with demands for rights, and we're all too familiar with a self-righteous tendency to sue anyone who touches a touch of our property or our privileges. And we seek full justice and complete retribution. Americans are quick to feel entitled and less inclined to recognize obligation and social duty. Rashi explains that the statement Asita Hatov Vehayashar demands that we fulfill not only Ben Adam Lechavero through compromise, through concessions, but even in Ben Adam Lemakom, in a manner that is straight in the eyes of God. This demand is made right after the permission to eat meat and the prohibition of consuming blood. The Torah asks you to recognize the sanctity of the lifeblood of animals and demands that you reverently cover the blood while allowing you to consume their flesh. Killing an animal, even for food, can foster callous disregard for life. Seeing blood can desensitize a person to violence and cruelty. And so the Torah wants us to retain our sensitivity, balancing it with our rights to consume meat. The Torah warns us, Al tiyeh tzadik harbeh. Don't be so righteous as you tread on the lives and honor of others. Do not mistake the piety and self-righteousness of zealots who prefer animal rights to human dignity. Do not pray so fervently while you turn a deaf ear to the cries of a child. Indeed, Ramban explains that one can be obsessively obedient to the mitzvot and still fail to meet the ethical standard of what is good and straight, as opposed to crooked in the eyes of Hashem. He explains that Ve'asita Hatov Ve'ayashar is an overriding ethic designed to guide our decisions in the small and the big dilemmas we face in our everyday lives. He writes, it was impossible for the Torah to list and mention every variation of human behavior and every encounter with one's neighbors or one's friends, with one's business associates, and with one's social environment. The Torah cannot provide a detailed guide for human behavior in all cases as we try to establish a civil and just society. So the Torah gave us some major ethical rules. One is in Parashat Kedoshim, demanding Kedoshim Tihiyu, which teaches that one should moderate even permitted behaviors. Not everything that is legal is right. Not everything that is permissible is in good taste. Not everything that is kosher should be consumed indiscriminately. Similarly, not everything that is allowed is good. Ramban warns each of us against becoming a naval birshut haTorah. The Torah relies on and trusts human intelligence and the capacity for each person to develop empathy and moral thought to determine whether a pleasurable choice will have a good long-term consequence, whether fulfilling my desires might not hurt another person. Rabbi Shimshon Raphael Hirsch says that when we try to do what is good, we must make sure that we do it in a way that is straight in the eyes of God, and not think that the ends justify the means. Rabbi Yonasan Abishitz links Ve'asita Hatov Ve'hayashar to the goal of Leman Yitav Lecha, and suggests that if we're willing to overlook a wrong and compromise with others, the Ribbono Shel Olam will treat us accordingly, overlooking our flaws and making concessions for our imperfections. Thank you for learning with me.